Welcome back to the Better Than One Marriage Podcast. Two are better than one. They get a good reward for their labor. And if one was to fall, that other person will be there to pick them back up. We're your hosts. I am Ronald Corsi Jr.
And I'm Chelsea Corsi.
And we're still married. After all this time, it's good to put that leg in front of the other and just say, you know what? I'm walking. Mary style. I'm walking. They be disrespecting us. I haven't heard that song anywhere.
Well, they played it enough initially.
I want to hear these excuses, Chelsea. People need to keep playing songs if it's a hit. I'm like, I don't know what we're talking about today, but Lord, you know, I'm just standing in the need of prayer. I feel like Satan has been attacking my health, Chelsea. Because, you know, I'm not really a sick person.
No, you're not.
I don't really believe in that. But it's been a stomach virus after, you know, getting bit in the bed by something to another stomach virus or another fever and a fever after that. And now a coughing fit. And now I don't even know if I have pink eye or not or where it came from. And this was all, and this is what I believe, Chelsea, is that, you know, it really doesn't actually matter.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't actually matter. But I do feel like it's from the enemy. And that's okay. That would be best better than, you know, being attacked and you don't even know why.
Yeah.
Or because you're drawing.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, just because I feel like I've set my heart to try to be closer to God, and it all stemmed from that in my mind. And I said, all right, you know what, I'm going to, you know, do such and such and such and such. I try to seek the Lord more, and, you know, out of nowhere, here we go. Here comes the attack.
Yeah. Man. It happens like that. I know every time I have to sing, and this happens to my mother as well. Mm-hmm. Every time we have to sing, there seems to have been a pattern of, I don't want to speak it into existence in the future, but there has been a pattern of having laryngitis or just some sort of like allergy issues or a cold or something, some sort of mucus or lost voice.
Yikes.
Every time. Mm-hmm. Singing needs to happen on a solo level.
Yeah. That is amazing. Definitely will. Yeah, it's like attacking the voice. And I'm like, I got to get up and lead this worship. And your voice is crazy. And it's just like, wow, this is interesting. But that's a good thing, you know. It's a good thing. For if we suffer with him, then we will be glorified with him.
Amen.
And the question is, and not even the question, but it is, I think it's actually being able to identify those times.
Yeah.
If you can identify, what does the Bible say? It says we're not ignorant of his devices, meaning his schemes.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're not ignorant of something, you have a different ability to be able to, you know, see it for what it is.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, just looking up like, hey, woe is me.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this happening to me? Oh, my life is this. And oh, my life is that. And I feel like it takes on a different life that it wasn't supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to go through things and start wondering why you go through them as a Christian. But going through things, understanding, number one, everything you go through is for God's glory. And this is literally what Pastor Tucker was talking about when I went to my dad's church, Joe, saying that God's going to get glory. And, you know, your suffering is a part of God getting glory.
Mm.
And I'm like, you know, I like to hear a good sermon, but, you know, sometimes you'd be like, all right, Lord, I don't know how intent you were on making sure I heard this sermon, but I know now that it was for a purpose.
Yeah.
But being able to identify that stuff is better than being hit upside the head and not knowing why.
Right.
Especially in your marriage.
Yeah, for sure. my friend and I have been doing devotionals together for quite some time, and we're just going through the Bible, but at our own pace. Mm-hmm. So this is year three, and we're on Jeremiah. But, I mean, that's purposeful. Sure. I started off on my own, and she joined mm-hmm. when I started Leviticus. But my intention from the beginning was to take my time so that I can actually retain the information a bit better and really, like, you know, like, study it and not just read it. You know, and it's fine if you're reading the Bible for the sake of having read the Bible.
Right.
That's fine if that's what you're feeling led to do. But what I felt led to do in this season is to study the mm-hmm. entire Bible, not just read it. Mm-hmm. So that is not something I could just do in a year. So that's what I'm doing. But yeah, but in Jeremiah chapter 20, you know, in church, I've heard it quoted a lot of times. It's like fire shut up in my bones. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know where that was in mm-hmm. the Bible until now. And context is key.
It is key like a mug.
We love to say certain things.
Anything.
And not understand the actual, like, for instance, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
Right.
They say that like, oh, you can graduate right. college. You can win the Olympics. You can get that Benz.
That business.
I can do all things. Yeah, yeah. But Paul was saying, if you read the verses before that, mm-hmm. that he has been abased. Mm-hmm. And he has abounded, and he's figured out how to be content in all those things mm-hmm. because he can do all this. It's not even all things, I feel like. I think it says I can do all this.
No,
I have to look back. Things. Does it say things? Maybe that's a different translation that says I can do all this.
Yeah, I don't know.
It might be a different translation. But anyway, through Christ who gives me strength. But honestly, I like that better because it makes more sense with, in our modern, you know, English, mm-hmm. that makes more, it gives more explanation to what he's referring to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can do all things, mm-hmm. yes, but he's saying, no, I can endure hardship mm-hmm. or be good because I can do all that through Christ who gives me strength. Right. So that's one of those things where it's like we throw that around for anything, and it's like the context of that was actually yep. for people who are going through hardship,
certainly.
Not for people who are in success.
Correct.
You know, but with this fire shut up in my bones, Jeremiah says, so he was going through.
Certainly. Weren't they all?
He was going through. First of all, the Lord had called him to be, he said, you can't get married. You can't have no kids. And here's the part I did not know. You can't go to no weddings. You can't go to no funerals.
Okay.
You can't attend any celebrations.
Okay.
This man couldn't have anybody in his life.
I've never read Jeremiah.
Yeah, yeah. So like he could not socially be involved in anything.
Yeah.
The Lord literally called that man to, it's me and you. Like, you literally are with me. Mm. And in solitude.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's a whole nother level. And on top of that, now we're in chapter 20, and he's being persecuted because mm. they're getting mad at him for saying what God is saying. Because mm. apparently there's some false prophets among them that are saying, that's not going to happen. God is not going to destroy us mm. for being disobedient, da 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 da. Which is crazy
certainly.
To see. There's still false prophets among us that are saying, oh, no, like, you're living however you want to live, but God is going to bless you.
All right.
We're not even going to go on that tangent. But that's what was happening, and they're getting mad at him because he's actually speaking the truth of what God is saying, which is that y'all are about to be captive to the Babylonians.
Right.
And so now they are persecuting him. And Jeremiah says in chapter 20, verse 9, it says, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. Mm-hmm. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble. and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous and seest the reins of the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee I have opened up my cause. So he's going through, right? Mm-hmm. But then right after that, he says, sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. Mm-hmm. This thing touched me, because, like, first of all, whenever I've heard Fire Shut Up In My Bones preached, it was always like, because he's been so good.
Sure.
It's like fire shut up in my bones. Mm-hmm. Not because it's in spite. He said, I literally decided I ain't preaching for you no more, Lord. Mm. I ain't telling nobody no more. Like, you let me go through all this after I literally gave up everything for you.
Right.
I've given up everything and I've committed. And if you go further up in that chapter, it's just a good chapter. If you go further up in the chapter, he's actually saying, like, I've always done what's right. He said, like, I've always loved your word and I've always walked uprightly. I never was fraternizing with evildoers or anything like that. I've always been on the straight and narrow.
Right.
And he's like, and then you made me give up everyone and everything. And I'm preaching your word, even though these people hate me and you're letting them beat on me and imprison me and all this type of stuff too. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm done. Like, God, I'm done. But his word was in my heart.
Right.
And it was like fire shut up in my bones. Mm. And I couldn't contain it. I had to.
Yes.
And then he redirects his thinking and says, sing unto. Then he starts praising the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, he's going to rescue me. And that to me is the mark of a believer versus a non-believer. Mm. That when troubles come, it shouldn't drive you away from God. It should drive you closer.
Amen.
And it's not that we don't have moments. We're alive. We're sure. Human.
Yeah.
We're real. You know, we don't need to walk around here like, oh, yeah, it's nothing. It's not even bothering me. Mm-hmm. No, be honest. Yeah. This sucks.
Definitely.
However, God is my strength. However, yes. God will deliver me. However, the cause of the Lord is more important than my comfort.
Right.
You know, and that to me is what made that just really spoke to me, because I'm like, dang, like, even when we don't feel like it, we still do it if his word is written on our heart. That's a lot. That's a lot.
I mean, the Bible says he's an all consuming fire.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's like, you know, he's all consuming fire. His word can, you know, split soul and spirit, and you know, just the magnitude of God is actually something that we can't actually really comprehend. We try to comprehend it, you know, with the words and expressions, but it's not really something we can comprehend. You know, I'm sitting there, and I literally was just reading Philippians in the basement yesterday morning. I was reading that exactly what, you know, Philippians. And there's only four chapters, so you know, you might as well read the whole thing. But you know, today I'm reading in Moses, you know, when he says, you know, I want to see your glory.
Yeah.
And you know, God is saying to him, I can't. Like, I can't really show you my full glory. And I don't think it's just the spiritual thing aspect of that. Like, you can't actually stand my glory. It's like, I can't quantify I can't actually condense it to make it like God is infinite. Like, I can't make it quantifiable to be like, okay, here it is. So he's like, and in some odd way, it's so odd to me. It's like, you know, when you go to them Old Testament scriptures, Charles, like, the stuff that be in there is very provoking, because this is God saying, I'm going to show you my glory, but I'm also going to be, he also says, like, I'm going to be beside you and I'm going to cover your face with my hand.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, okay, so how is you going to cover, you're covering with the hand, but you're also going by. Like, how are we doing this?
Right.
I'm going to hide you in the rock, but then when I'm going by, then you'll be in the cleft of a rock. I'm like, all right, okay. And then I'm going to like have my hand over you, and I'll pull back my hand so that you can see. It's like, how are you doing that? I don't even, you know, I don't know. But the main point is like, even if he wanted to show you all of it, you couldn't. He couldn't.
Yeah.
You couldn't be able to contain it, and you wouldn't be able to take it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is why. It's like, woe is me. This is the fire that shut up in the bones. Mm-hmm. It's like the all-consuming fire. It's like, you wouldn't be able to really stand
mm-hmm.
in his glory.
Yeah.
And when he comes, people are, you know, they're prostrate. Ain't yeah. no, you know, it ain't nothing. You don't have, there's nothing to be said
mm-hmm.
when, well, when someone would say, when the king comes in the room, it's like, because sometimes he comes as father mm-hmm. or shepherd mm-hmm. or, you know. But when the king comes in the room with all the weight of the authority, it's like faces to floor,
yeah.
bow down.
Yeah.
Like, you can't stand this glory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the humility that comes with that. My friend that I'm studying with, I'm pregnant. I can't even talk about this stuff, man. I'm going to just be bawling. But
got that pregnant anointing.
It's a pregnant hormone surge of just too in touch with my emotions right now. But yes. And I already am in touch with them, so I don't need any sauce on it.
Definitely.
But, but no, her reverence for God and her understanding of just like her unworthiness, you know? And it's like, we don't want to, you know, he didn't come to condemn us, and he wouldn't have us to condemn ourselves either. But humility is a different thing. There should still a broken spirit and a contrite heart
yeah.
that he won't despise. Like, there is still supposed to be a brokenness and like in that reverence, just realizing like, sheesh, like I'm literally a speck of dirt.
You are a speck. You're very specky.
A speck. Not just dirt. I'm a speck of it.
A grain.
And he's God.
He's God.
And we can't even fully fathom, like you said, like, what does that even mean?
Right.
I am God. What does that mean?
Yeah. What does that mean, sir?
What does that fully encompass?
Right.
We will never be done, I don't think, finding that out.
No.
But she has such a grip on that. And I mean, she was raised in legalism, and that's been a battle for her. But mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, no matter what denomination you're in, I really appreciate non-denominational churches, because I feel it just be a Bible church. We don't need to be too stuck in any interpretation. Just be Holy Spirit led, because like, be open to revelation.
True.
I feel like denominations get stuck in where they struggle to be open to revelation,
right?
Because that would be admitting that something that they've been teaching for years is wrong,
right?
And that can become a problem.
It can become an idol.
It can become an idol. And that's a pride issue. Once again, we're talking about humility here.
Yes.
Like, if you really understand that you're in the presence of the living God, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, yes, I'm wrong.
Yeah, you started off wrong.
I've of course, and I'll forever be still wrong somehow, yeah, in some ways. Like,
some way.
It's man.
Yeah.
But to just stay open to just, all right, Lord, like, I may have been preaching and teaching this for 20 years, but if you give me a fresh anointing or new revelation, I always just want to stay open to your spirit to move, or right. even if just the season changes and we need to start doing things a different way, you know, like, it can be tough. I appreciate denominations in certain ways, but then in other ways I see how it can be a hindrance, like
right.
you said, become an idol or become a source of pride.
Mm-hmm.
But what I will say is, I think different denominations have different strong points,
mm-hmm.
which we've talked about before, you and I. I think different ones have different strong points. And she and I talked about that, where, like, she grew up in legalism.
Mm.
So the fear of the Lord was actually taught to her as afraid.
Right.
Be afraid of God.
Be afraid of God.
Not reverence God.
Right.
You know, but the thing is, there should be, don't fear man who can only kill your body but not your soul. Fear God who can kill both body and soul.
Mm.
You know, so there is a fear.
Yes.
But it's a reverential fear. And when you know that you are out of the, you're in the safe zone.
Mm.
Like, once, if you've received salvation, that is not something for you to fear anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you come to salvation through that fear,
mm-hmm.
through that understanding, you know, but like, it's not, but not only that, it's paired with love. It's paired, you know, with an understanding of his love and his desire to save, but also the very huge reality that, you know, you must actually accept his son, yeah, you know, to be saved. Mm-hmm. So there is a fear there. Oh man, if I don't accept him, I'm going to hell. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm afraid of that. But like at the same time, wow, Lord, I'm really just all inspired,
right,
about the fact that you don't want that to happen to me, and you've made a way for that not to happen to me. So now that I'm in the ark of safety, I can just be forever indebted to you, mm-hmm, you know, and now I'm not afraid because I'm not with those who have to be afraid anymore,
yeah,
you know? And so, but what I love though, is that she just don't go to God all willy-nilly. Like those of us who grew up under grace doctrine,
just rolling up. What up, Lord?
Willy-nilly.
What up, Lord? I mean,
and I'm just like, whew, like there has to be a reverence still.
That's true. But, I mean, really it's not a but, it's more like an and.
Mm-hmm.
Because the, some people teach reverence and sometimes if it's pharisaical,
right,
it doesn't mean anything to God. Right. Which is hard to say because you're like, well, am I reverencing? It's like, no, you're afraid of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's and like, I mean, and God actually does not want you to actually be afraid of him.
Right.
And this, oh, and of course, you know, I'm not the fear of the Lord God, but just, you know, John Bevere says the fear of the Lord is not being afraid of him, but being afraid to be away from him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that,
that's it.
That's it. And that, and Moses, you know, Moses on the mountain and it's so funny because Moses knows the Lord,
yes,
and then the people of Israel don't.
Yes.
So he, you know, Moses, God is coming down on the mountain. That is so funny to me because like he could have came down soft, but it's like, nah, I can't really. They need to understand who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes down as a consuming fire on the mountain, and, yeah, and Moses is calm, you know, he's like, yeah, it's the Lord, guys. Hey. Meanwhile, the people are terrified.
Yes, yes.
And they're like, oh no, we don't want to. We don't, you know, oh, please.
Yeah.
And but he says, no, don't be afraid. He's come down to see if his fear, he's come down to, I wish I had the verse, but basically he says something to the effect of, don't be afraid of the Lord. He's come down to see if your fear is in him.
Mm.
And he's not talking about being afraid. He's talking about the holy reverence. He's talking about that which comes from a place of purity,
yeah,
not from a legalistic place,
yeah, yeah,
not from a this is how my grandma did it place.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, God, I see God for who he is, and like he is worthy of reverence.
Mm-hmm.
And that my reverence is not rooted in me being afraid of what he'll do to me,
right.
And it's literally rooted in, I would be lost without you.
Yeah.
God.
Excuse like, me. And I don't like what life is like without you. And I don't want to go back to that.
And the part, you know, the hardest part, something that I didn't realize about the word, Chelsea, is like the word calls like certain people in the Bible friend.
Yeah.
Like, and but I feel like we grew up in Christianity, like, oh, he calls all of us friend.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not true.
Mm.
It's actually not true. And I was going through this with the guys where I'm like, you know what, now let me take my time with this, because from afar off, it's like God cannot be friends with everybody for the same reason that people cannot be friends with everybody.
Mm.
Because in order to be my actual friend, I have to know you.
Yeah.
That's the first thing.
Yeah.
Like, we can't be friends if I don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just start there, right? But if you were a person who was looking at Christ from afar off, and, oh, this is so good, because it's like I can't call you my friend like I called the disciples my friend. And let's be clear, he picked all of them out by name.
First of all, Corey and I just read that tonight.
See, there you go. Well, I'm saying by name. He already knew their names.
Right.
But he picked all of them out including Judas.
Yeah.
Right? And then, but what happens is he has a 3-year ministry, and then he comes to basically the Last Supper, and this is where he exposes Judas after 3 years mm-hmm. of him walking out, and he exposes Judas. Judas obviously is like, you know, embarrassed or exposed, and he leaves the room, and then Christ says, "Now I no longer call you my servants, mm-hmm. but I call you my friends."
Mm-hmm.
Which means, like, up until this point, you didn't realize, and this is how I'm taking it, is that because, you know, they were with Christ, but Christ is so deep sometimes that mm-hmm. It's like they don't know what he's talking about. He's telling them everything that is going to happen, but when stuff happens, they're still shocked.
Right.
Because they don't understand. They're like,
they don't.
They're like, oh, you know, somebody comes to get him, and Peter's trying to fight. He's like, mm-hmm. Peter, I just told you they was mm-hmm. coming.
And that this needs to go down.
This has to happen, right? And he's and it's like, they don't get it. But he Judas leaves the room, and then he says to them, "I no longer call you my servants, but now I call you my friends." Mm-hmm. And I believe it's because now I feel like they're actually having a grasp or understanding of what is to come.
Mm.
But this is what happens when people who are Christians feel like they're friends, but that friend and closeness, intimacy, can be mistaken if it's not close enough. Because if you were a person and you're far off from God, and you were to look like, and let's be clear, if Old Testament or New Testament, if you look in the Old Testament and you say, "I want to be a friend of God," why? Oh, well, I mean, you know, this guy, they're splitting, or he said, put like this, "I want to be like Moses."
Mm-hmm.
If you're afar, because Moses is a friend of God, he's close, mm-hmm. and you would be off. Oh, okay. Why you want to be like Moses? Oh, because Moses can part seas.
Yeah.
Moses is tapping rocks and water's coming out.
Yeah.
Moses is talking to God and
coming,
you know,
down,
man
with his
is
face lit up
coming down with his face lit up. If you're walking with Jesus from afar off, you would say, "Oh, I want to be one of the disciples. I want to mm-hmm. be a friend of God." Hey, man, he's walking around healing people and feeding people.
Yeah,
it's like when you're not close to God, you can look at the job of being close to him as fanfare.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can look at it as glamorous.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's not to say,
and that's what people do.
That's what people do.
Yeah,
and that's not to say there isn't benefits. But to be a friend is like, no, God can't even bring you into the inner circle unless he can trust you
mm-hmm.
with his presence.
Mm-hmm.
Because his presence is not about fanfare.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, it really, and the crazy part is not even really about the benefits. He is the benefit.
Right.
This is where he says to Abraham, "I am your exceeding great reward."
Mm-hmm.
It's me. It's mm-hmm. it's not the riches I gave you. It's like, no, I'm the reward.
Right.
And if you're too far from him, you can look at it from afar off and just say, "Oh, okay, I want to be next to him for all these benefits."
Mm-hmm.
But now what happens to the 12 disciples? And God says, "Okay, now I no longer call you servants, I call you friends." Why can they be friends? Why? Because the same death I'm going to die, you're going to have to die it too.
We just talked about this. That's amazing.
Right? Like, yep. this is what it means to be friend. And without that closeness, if I were to tell that to somebody who doesn't have the trust of the presence,
it would scare them off.
And I'm out of here.
Yeah.
So it's like, no, that's the servant. It's like, you know, because I'll give you the truth
mm-hmm.
and you won't be able to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll run off.
Yeah.
But my friends understand my presence.
My Jeremiah's.
Right.
Come on now.
And that I am the exceeding great reward.
Yeah.
So now I can trust you with what comes with my presence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Moses, you know, well, Moses, hey, Moses, you gotta go through a lot of stuff, right? He has to deal with the people. Moses, yeah. David has to.
Mercy.
Whoever's a friend, it's like, I'm going to require things of you that only my friends would do.
Wow.
Because they understand that I am the reward and nothing else. If I'm with you, this is where Abraham, he says, "Abraham, you know, you're a friend of me. You believe me. You were going to sacrifice your son. I did not give you a reason."
Yeah.
Didn't give him a reason. I didn't give him a, "Hey, we'll figure it out when you get up there." No, sacrifice. I said I would give you a son. Kill your son for me. And Abraham did it. He did it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't wait.
Without hesitation.
Without hesitation. He didn't.
Without understanding.
The next morning, they were on their way. Like, mercy. Okay, right? This is the friend of God.
Yeah.
This is why Moses, literally, he messed up the friendship. Because he didn't hallow or he didn't revere mm-hmm. God in front of the people.
Yeah.
And he severed the friendship because it's like, no. If you're going to be close to me, it's so hard. Like, it's just crazy. But like everybody who wants to be a friend of God is like, yo, it's going to call you to do some stuff that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
And I have to be able to trust you with that presence.
Yeah.
Because number one, if I ask you to do it, you got to do it.
I got to be able to depend on you.
And that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I was sitting there, you know, just thinking all my life, like, oh, I am a friend of God.
Right.
Yeah, I am a friend of God. And it's like, no, God don't got that many friends.
Wow.
It's like, it's like he don't.
Wow.
Like that's a hard thing to accept. And it's like, it's not about like, oh, you're super anointed. It's like, no, these are people who obey God immediately. And this is shout out to John Bevere. It's like obey immediately when it doesn't make sense, when it doesn't have a benefit,
mm-hmm.
when it's unclear. Like when you do it, that's a friend of God.
And that's the thing, because you were saying the difference between a friend and a servant. It's like you don't want to be his friend. You want to be a benefactor.
Right.
That's what you want.
Right.
You don't actually want to be his friend.
That's the great challenge.
Yeah.
I think that we all that people's doctrines where it doesn't line up, where there's a mixture between God is here for me or I am here for God.
Yeah.
Where, you know, if God is here for me, then hey, he's supposed to be just blessing me with everything. I might have some bumps in the road, but it's generally supposed to be, you know, up. Supposed to have my business, supposed to have my cars and my houses. Yeah. Then is, oh, I'm here for God. And, you know, whatever he has for me is for me.
Right.
Type of thing. I want God to get glory.
Yeah.
And they kind of, you know, they go against each other.
Yeah.
But that's a different life to live when, you know, when you being a friend of God. It's like when you really think of the disciples, it's like for them to be friends, including, I guess, Matthias, right? Was he the 12th disciple that they replaced Judas with?
I literally just told Corey I don't remember what his name was, but it happened.
I can't remember. I feel like it was Matthias, but they all died, except for John.
We just had this conversation.
I know,
I'm so, like, tickled. Go ahead. I'm sorry, y'all. Because literally right before we recorded this podcast, I did Bible study with our daughter.
Yeah.
And we the Bible study was, like, the part of her children's Bible. It was Jesus Chooses the 12.
Yeah.
And, like, literally it was saying the names of everybody that he called or whatever and said that they were the apostles and all that stuff. And she wound up asking me, she wound up asking me something about heaven. And then she was like, I talked to her about the fact, because she said, what's going to happen when Jesus comes back? That's what she said.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how we got there, but she asked that. And mm-hmm. I told her what that's going to be like, and that the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are still remain will be caught up. And she said, you know, I hope he comes back before I die, because I don't want to die. And I was like, yeah, I don't want to die either. Nobody wants to. But mm-hmm. I literally told her about Joan of Arc. I told her about... I couldn't remember who it was in the Bible. Stephen. I could not get his name together, mm-hmm. but same thing. You know, but I was explaining to her about Joan of Arc that was like way after the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, but that's a historical account
mm-hmm.
where people watched that woman burn alive
mm-hmm.
and she looked up at the sky and said, I see Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, oh my Lord. And I told her, oh, help me, Jesus. I'm not going to be bawling. I was trying not to cry talking to her, but I was like, I truly believe that. Mm-hmm. And I remember some years ago, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you.
Go ahead.
I told her, I'm sorry, I didn't tell her. Some years ago, I had watched a clip late at night from, I think it was, what's that show where they do the, like, Simon Cowell is on there. It's not American Idol, it's the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, The X Factor or something like that.
Okay.
Where they press the button.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
America's Got Talent.
Yeah, one of them. And there was a story about, like, you know, like a person who lost their child to, like, cancer or something like that, and they're showing the pictures of the child and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff just jacks me up so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's... I understand why people have a crisis of faith
mm-hmm.
when it's children. Or when it's like mentally handicapped people or just the sweetest people on earth. You know, I understand those things, you know, but like yeah, I can't even really like dwell on it too long because it just jacks me up too bad. But I remember crying and praying and saying, like, God, I'm gonna need you to like explain this to me, you know, because like this is something I can't actually be okay with. And I need you to help me to be okay with it. Like, I don't want to have a problem with you over you doing things the way you're doing them. And I promise you, I mean, this is, you can't find it nowhere in the Bible, but I promise you, the Lord said to me that he's with them in death and he's with them in suffering, you know, like the, and he brought Stephen back to my mind. He said, I'm with you in death.
Yeah.
And it really just, I'm sure that it's not that like there's no believers who, you know, oh, you don't feel anything or you don't know you're dying or, you know, I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is I know the Lord spoke to my spirit and said, like, I'm with you in death. Like, I'm going to ease.
Yeah.
I'm going to ease the transition for you.
Yeah.
And I ease the transition for these children and, you know, for my people, you know, and, you know, I said that to Corey tonight. I was like, God said, because in the scripture, when he chose the disciples and everything, I was explaining to her because it said that they were the apostles. And I said they're apostles because they actually walked with Jesus while he was on the earth.
Right.
You know, like those we're disciples, you know, so I was explaining to her like a disciple is a follower of Christ and someone who learns of him and, you know, spreads his word, you know, so we're disciples, too. But they are apostles because they walked with him while he was alive. But, you know, I told her because she said, why were they outside? She's looking at the pictures. And she's like, why is he always talking to them outside? And I said, well, they were traveling around, you know, like certainly. He was preaching to people outside. And I told her, though, I said, he tells us to go outside, which is a whole nother thing. He tells us to go. We're supposed to be outside. Lord have mercy. So I'm explaining to her that, you know, that's the Great Commission. You know, as his disciples, we are his disciples too. He commissioned everybody who is his disciple to go out and make disciples of all the nations. And in that passage where it was talking about him choosing his disciples, right before that was when he ate with the tax collectors. And the Pharisees were like, why are you eating with sinners? He said, I didn't come for people who are healthy. I came for people that are sick.
So who else am I eating with? Ain't nothing but sinners.
I'm telling, first of all, first of all, I mean, would you feel better if I eat with you, sinner?
Eat with these animals out in the back somewhere.
They probably
horses?
Better than you. They probably are. But anyway, because y'all won't even have dinner with me. But anyway.
Yeah, that's anyway, to boot.
Anyway.
Notwithstanding.
Oh, Lord. But yeah, I was explaining to her that, you know, he wants us to go out. I said, if we only go to church or like stay inside our house with our family who's saved, you know, how are we supposed to talk to people who are not saved? We're supposed to go out and talk to the people who are lost. Like, that's who Jesus came for, and that's who he sends us out for. You know, like, we can't just be stuck in our own little Christian bubble. And yeah, that's just a whole I'm gonna leave that. I'm gonna leave it be. But I was saying that to her, and I was like, yeah, Jesus was like preaching outside and all that. But anyway, so we're talking about like the difference between disciples and apostles. And I wound up telling her, because when she started asking what heaven is going to be like, it was a random question. But then when she said she didn't want to die, I told her, you know, like almost all the apostles died, if not all of them. I couldn't remember at the moment. Like, I didn't have my phone, but I wasn't sure if it was all of them or not. Is it all of them?
Well, technically, all of them die except for John.
Okay.
But they tried to kill John, and they couldn't kill him.
Okay.
Right.
Because he was still writing Revelation.
Right. Well, that's the conclusion that we come up with, right? They tried to put him in a boiling oil,
and it didn't work.
So they exiled him to Patmos. They said, "All right, well, we can't kill you, so just go to an island of exile." That's where, you know, and that's where he writes Revelation.
That's something else.
That is something else.
That is something else. Yes. Yeah, but that's what I was. That's what made me explain that to her. Mm-hmm. You know, because she said she doesn't want to die, and I was like, nobody wants to die. I don't want to die either, but. You know, but he's going to be with us in death. And I told her, like, he was with them in death, and they died because of him. And just like they crucified Jesus, you know, like, the world, if they hate God, they hate us too.
Yeah.
You know, and, but we don't have to worry, because that's when I told her about the Great Commission. I said, and then he says, lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. And, You know, so he's with us in death too. Yeah. He's with us all the way. We don't have to be afraid of those things, you know. And I told her, even when stuff is really, really hard and really, really uncomfortable, he's with us and he softens the blow. Like he's our comforter and our peace. And but we literally just, that was what our reading was of tonight. And now you're talking about that. But do you remember what you were going to say?
Oh, I mean, it all alluded to that fact, is that Jesus Christ took time to say that there was a time, and what, this is what the Bible says, when a child is young, he doesn't differ much than a servant, right? Because a child is, if I can't call a child even though you are an heir, I can't call you an heir because your understanding is not where it needs to be. Like, I can't put a child.
The business would fail if I handed it to you right
correct.
Now.
Correct. Yes. Like, same thing. So, I like, they really don't differ much from a servant, even though they are an heir. So, Christ at the time even took time to call people who were right next to him, like, you're my servant still, because there's certain things I can't hand it over to you because you're not ready for it. But the fact that he makes the switch and says, now I call you friends. Now I can entrust you with these, with this part of the kingdom.
Wow.
Every one of you will die. And some of you will die terribly. I mean, well, it's all going to be terrible generally. And like all of you, and they're going to try to kill you on top of it. Right. And that, then oddly enough, you know, that probably included more people, like, cause it wasn't just the 12. It was a lot of people that was kind of kicking it with them.
Yeah.
They were just the main 12.
Oh, that's what I was saying to her too. I was saying, do you notice that it said he called certain disciples and then called them to be his apostles.
Right.
And I was telling her there were plenty of disciples. Yeah.
Right. Plenty, you know, women, men.
Yeah.
You know, probably all ages. Even, well, I ain't going to start talking about Nicodemus, because that was one of the best things I'd ever heard in my life. Shout out to Robert Morris. He's just, you know, people are funny, but then this guy, you talk about making people want to break down. This guy, he shows a video of like a guy who has a son who has something, maybe Down syndrome or like spina bifida. Basically, he can't walk and do anything for himself, but he made it to the point where they could, like, I guess, communicate with him. And he says, you know, says to his dad, who's like a Marine sergeant or some tough military guy, says to his dad, you know, the when I feel the most free is when we're out, you know, doing something, outdoing things or being active or something like that. And somewhere along the line, the dad decides, okay. Oh, no, it was something like maybe he wants to do like a marathon.
Okay.
But he's in like a makeshift wheelchair buggy thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so if he wants to, if the kid, and he's grown now, he's like, he's like an adult, but he's, you know, he has some sort of condition.
Yeah.
And he's like, I want to do a marathon. So, which means okay, if we're doing a marathon, the dad has to push him 26 miles.
Oh, wow.
Right? But here comes the dad. This guy is like Superman because he ain't that young. Like, because this guy's a grown adult. So I'm like, so the dad is at least probably in his 50s. But I guess that military background of this guy, you know, but to the point where they start doing I want to call it a triathlon. And a triathlon is like you bike like 110 miles, you run a marathon, and you swim like I don't remember some sort of miles. So, but it starts off with a swim, then it goes into the 100 and something mile bike ride, then it goes into a 26 mile marathon, all back to back.
Jesus.
And the dad says, okay, like the dad made up in his mind that, okay, my son feels free doing this, so I'm going to do it.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay. So you literally, and then it shows this daggone video of all right, we're getting in the water. They literally sit the boy, or he's not a boy, he's grown, but they sit him, put him in a life vest, some sort of makeshift raft, tie that on to the dad. Dad swims.
Wow.
Let's start swimming, son. And I'm like, all right. That seemed like the hardest out of everything, but okay. Cool. And it's miles of swimming. You go out somewhere in the ocean. All right. Whatever that point is, come on back. okay. And then when you get to land, we got to pick them up out the raft, sit them in some other makeshift bike part.
Attachment.
No, actually, you know, it goes on the front because okay. he sits them on the front of the, right. Somewhere that's long goes on the front and he's going to push. Dad gets on. All right, let's start our 110 mile bike ride.
Jesus.
Pushing. And then after that, you know, he's like, well, we get done with that. All right, I got to get off the bike and I got to start running. They situation him into something else. And literally, you can see because the dude, you know, the guy, he's piddle. He can do nothing for himself. He's just sitting there, you know, with his just head to the side. And Dad is doing all the pushing and doing Jeez. Everything. And first of all, even I'm like, yeah. Here we go.
Gotta go ahead and cry.
and then, of course, they panning the people in the audience. Everybody in there broken.
Jesus.
And he's like, we're the son.
Oh, Lord.
Like, God is the father. Like, he's wow. doing everything for us. And I'm just like, yeah. yeah. Let's get it together here.
Oh,
but
man.
If you could see it, and I'm like, somebody took the time to capture the stuff, and you can God. Just see, like, here this guy is, you know, he's just, he whatever his condition is, he's no help in this race.
Yeah, yeah.
And the father is pedaling, swimming, everything, picking his son up, everything. He's like, and then daggone Robin was like, we're the son in this regard. We're the son. And God is the Father. He's doing everything.
Oh, my.
And I was just like, yeah, that's
And that's so
accurate.
True because, like, we're nothing but a burden to God.
Literally. We add nothing to this.
And I hate to call the man a burden, but, like,
but he,
you get
but
what
it
I'm
is,
saying.
Right?
Yeah.
Especially, yes.
Because not a burden in his father's heart.
Sure. He
like,
loves
his, father,
his son.
Right. He's not yes. going to view him that way. But he made that so much harder
right.
for him to accomplish.
Yeah.
But he's like, but I'm still going to bring you along because I love yes. you that much.
Yeah.
God, that's us. I be thinking, because God be so frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm all in the Old Testament. It's just like, y'all raggedy. And like over and over again, daggone it.
Yeah.
Here we go again. All right, y'all. But I love in Jeremiah, he keeps saying it. He says it in all these, like he was saying the same thing in Isaiah,
mm-hmm.
you know, but there's a remnant.
Mm.
there's mm-hmm. a remnant that still, that loves me
yeah.
and that wants to serve me.
Yeah.
And y'all raggedy too, but at least your heart
we
is in the
ragged.
Right place. So yeah. I'm gonna drag you along.
Yes.
And he says there's some of you who are in rebellion mm. that I know, though, that your heart is going to turn.
Yeah.
And so, and I think of that scripture all the time. I think it's in 1st or 2nd Peter that says God is not slack as we view
well, right. God
slackness.
Is not slack on his promises as some view slackness.
Yeah, but right. is patient to usward.
Right.
Wanting that all of us would be saved, basically, right. I'm paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. But, like, people are looking like, oh, well, if he's coming back, when is that going to happen? Y'all been talking about he's coming back for all this time. It's
right.
like he's waiting for us.
Yeah.
He's waiting.
Mm-hmm.
He's giving chances. He's giving time.
Right.
You know, and it's not even about him. It's about us.
Yeah.
You know, and Mercy. He's being so patient. Like, that's...
He is patient.
I mean, he is patience.
Yeah. And I always like that. Because what he's saying is like the way you view slackness
yeah.
is not how he actually is. Like, because if you look at it, yeah, it's mm-hmm. like it seems like he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing.
Right, right.
It's like, but no, that's the way you view it.
Yeah.
The way you view slackness is not actually accurate to
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just long suffering.
Wow.
And you can't call his long suffering slackness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And I think a lot of times in life, we struggle with that.
Mm.
God, how come you ain't do it yet?
Yes, Lord, right.
Lord, you know, just you ain't delivered me yet. Why? You didn't do this for me yet. You didn't take me to this place yet, to this level yet. Why?
Right. Yeah.
And he's like, you don't, like you were saying, I can't reveal that to you yet, or I can't trust you with that yet, or that's not good for you yet, or yeah. ever.
Or ever.
Sometimes.
It's hard, Joe.
So it's like, just even when we're getting frustrated with him, he's like, meanwhile, I'm literally doing everything for your
good. Everything. Meanwhile, I'm pushing. Yeah. You're not helping in this race.
Wow.
You have no benefit to me.
Mm-hmm.
I have all benefits to you.
Wow.
And that's the heart. You know, that's the heart of this holy reverence. It's like,
yeah.
He's God for real.
Yeah.
He's not God like in our theory, in our theories.
Mm-hmm.
And like, oh, well, you know, God is like, no. God. No, God. Like, same dude. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That dude?
Mercy.
Yeah, that dude. Oh, the same guy? Yeah, that dude? What?
Mercy.
I'm sorry? Mercy. Heavens and earth? They have galaxies they can't even find. Like, he did all that. I don't even understand why he did all that.
Me either.
Because certain people feel like there's other people and stuff, and there's like, and I don't.
I don't think so either.
I don't think so either. I don't understand why he did all that. Me but either. Hey, whatever. Same dude. You did all that.
Life can't. So, I mean, unless it's a different life form.
But yeah. And maybe there's so many galaxies, it's actually impossible for them to be able to tell,
because
there could be something similar to Earth, right?
Where maybe there's water. Can't find to even
we
know
just can't.
About.
Right. We have no way to get there.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know, but
we don't know. I don't know, but that dude, you know,
that guy,
you know, he's doing some stuff. He's dominating out
that's
here.
That's amazing. That he's is amazing.
That's it. But that's it, Chels. Like, he's amazing.
And you should get stuck on that.
Right.
Like if you can get over that, that's strange.
That's so crazy. It's like, yo, man. And that's that daggone Moses is like.
Yeah.
Yo. And crazy enough, I was trying to find it because I was trying to. That's what popped in my mind when I was, in devotion. And I was like, yeah, when he asked that, hey, I want to see your glory. And I was in the chapter, but I didn't realize I was in the chapter. I was like, man, I was at 30, literally at 33. Like, man, where is this at? So I look on my phone. It was like 33. I was like, oh, okay.
That's happened to me before. That's hilarious. Yeah. I feel like subconsciously we know that that's where it is.
Yeah, sometimes you be knowing.
Yeah. Yeah,
especially in my Bible, because if I've read it before, I can kind of remember what it looked like on the page.
Mm.
But this is the guy where he's like, that pesky Moses, man. Like, this guy was like, he's different, Chelsea.
It's pesky.
And I'm sitting there asking myself, he says, if I find favor in your sight, it's like, will you show me your glory? And I'm asking myself, what made him know that God had glory?
Mm.
Because we can't actually handle God's glory like that.
Yeah.
Like, if we do, like, we would die, right? Like, God's full glory, the full weight of his presence.
Yeah, wipe us out.
I'm like, what was it in Moses that made him know? Because he hadn't shown it to him.
Right.
He's speaking like Moses is a special guy.
Light up a fire.
Right.
I meant light up a bush.
Right. He saw him light up a bush, and he would come down the pillar of the cloud.
Right.
God would talk to him face to face, but he's not like right there.
Yeah.
He's in the cloud.
Yeah.
But he's just talking to him, and it's talking to him plainly. Moses is spoiled. Like, he don't even know.
I know.
He's mad spoiled. Like, God was not doing that with everybody. Like,
maybe
he's talking
Enoch.
To people.
That's the only one.
Maybe Enoch, right? And he's so far back, that don't
I
even count.
I wish we had more details about Enoch.
Right. Well, yeah. But, and like, so Moses is like, that he's used to being a friend to God to where, like, I don't even know if he's like, yeah, I'm a friend to God. I don't even know if that was special to him, but I don't know. But this is the guy that says, like, oh, show me your glory. I'm like, first of all, what made him know that he had glory? Secondly, why did he want to see it?
Yeah.
I'm like, why? Why did he want to see it?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, but this is the same guy. It's just like, hey, man, listen, God. If your presence doesn't go up with us from this place, if your presence, like, listen, matter, he didn't even say your presence. This is the good part, because God says, hey, take these people up, and I'm not going to go with you.
Yeah,
I'm going to send my angel. I'm going to send my angel to go. And then he comes and says, Lord, if you don't go up with us, who's going to go? This is what, my friend, no, this is what he says. He says, you haven't told me who's going to go with us, which is an interesting thing, because he says an angel, but it's like Moses is such a friend. This is how I'm seeing it, is that, like, God would have told him who it was. Like, that's the only way I could see it. Like, because he said previous verses, my angel is going to go. But Moses said, like, you haven't told me who, though. Like, mm-hmm. who's going? Because if you don't go,
I ain't going.
Listen, don't take us from here. Please yeah. don't. But then he says, okay, you have found favor. And then he says, this is my angel. I'm going to send my presence.
Wow.
Which is pretty amazing.
Wow.
And I feel like this is where you start seeing that triune God.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he's like, okay, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
My Holy Spirit's going to go, right?
Wow.
And that, you know, all this time, he's talking to Christ in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't know that. And, you know, a lot of people don't know that. They don't accept that either. But, you know, he's talking to Christ and say, okay, I'm going to send my presence.
Wow.
And that'll go with you. And that'll be enough.
Wow.
And he's like, you know what? I want to see your glory. I want to see it.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
Wow.
Well,
I had it in mind for us to talk about Adam Sandler and his wife, who have been married for 20 years and together for 25.
Okay.
And I had stumbled across this article that was saying they've been married for 20 years and he's never wanted to be with another woman. And he is home for dinner at 6 p.m. Mm. all the time, puts the kids to bed every night, and doesn't go out with his friends and stuff like that. Like, and he just loves his wife.
Yeah.
And which is pretty astounding for a celebrity to maintain
sure.
those boundaries and like those like just have certain things like just what parameters for himself, not even boundaries, but like just standards. He maintains those standards. But what I wanted to say was like, because this whole season was why shouldn't I get married? And we're talking, you know, we're talking about the reasons why people say, why should I get married?
I was about to say.
Sorry, guys. Why should I get married?
I've been messing that up all season.
My bad. Why should I get married?
Yeah.
Because, and we're addressing all the reasons people say you shouldn't nowadays. Mm. And I know a lot of people think it's because they're like, there's no way I'm going to want to be with one person my whole life. Like, there's no way, you know, like, what if I get to a point where I want to be with somebody else, or what if I find out this person wasn't the one, you know, or something like that. And then it's like, I made this commitment and it's like too late. I'm stuck. Mm. Like, I can't be with somebody else now. I can't leave, you know. And what was really on my heart about it was just that, like, you may want to be with somebody else at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You may want to. You may not want to be with your spouse anymore at some point.
Yeah.
You may wonder if your spouse was the one or not at some point, or if there's someone better for you, or, you know, all of that. That might happen.
Yeah.
It happens to a lot of people. But the point that it's okay for us not to get everything that we want.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, God's will and the covenant that we enter is, you know, like, to just be able to trust that whatever God had for you.
Mm.
And I mean, this is, of course, assuming that you were a God-fearing person and so was your spouse, and y'all prayed about it and were spirit-led before entering the marriage.
Yeah.
That we're making that assumption in this statement, that, okay, well, God, you brought us here together to this place, and, you know, you have a purpose for it. But there's going to be so many times that God's will is not what we want. And even where, like, in certain seasons we were totally down, but then we're just like, okay, like, I'm kind of feeling a shift in my spirit. I don't want this no more. I don't like this no more. You know, and God is just like, no, that's it though. And just, there's been a lot of like talk throughout this season of just people feeling like they're missing out on something all the time.
Yeah.
Just, I don't want to lock myself in, because then what if I miss out on this or miss out on that?
Yeah.
And then in this case, just taking away my options of being with someone else, you know, like if I want to change my mind about that, if I'm not feeling it anymore, or I'm just feeling exploring. But specifically if you're not feeling the person anymore, you know, or feeling the marriage anymore. And, you know, just the fact that, like, it's actually okay.
Yeah.
It's actually okay to not have what you want.
Yeah.
Like, that's okay.
Can't always get what you want.
And it's, like, and it's okay to want to leave.
Yeah.
but it's not okay to leave just because you feel like it. And it's true. Okay that you shouldn't.
Right. That's okay as well.
That's okay that that there's just, you know, that you actually have to just stick it out. Like, that's all right.
Right.
And in light of everything we're talking about as far as just perseverance, basically.
Yes.
You know, in the Lord, for the sake of God and for the sake of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And that we are here for him and him not here for us.
Correct.
I feel like that does still kind of tie in.
I think it ties in plenty. I mean, it's the commitment.
Yeah,
like, God is, he's so committed to us. He's like he's the, well, like he's the groom, right? Christ is the groom. He's the one that does the pledging.
Mm.
And, you know, he puts down the earnest of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He puts down the deposit saying, hey, I'm going to come back. Like, he's completely, fully committed.
He's invested.
He's invested.
Fully invested.
Like he's not slack. This is what I say. He's not slack concerning his promises. Like, no, I'm working it out. Like, I'm coming back.
Yep.
I'm coming for what I put the down payment on.
Yeah.
And and I think this is where people, that's literally the heart of marriage is it's staying when you don't want to. It's like you don't really understand or get marriage until it's not what you wanted it to be.
Yeah.
Like, and this is, and notwithstanding, you know, nobody wanted to be abused or
right. We ain't talking,
you know,
pure foolishness.
Right. Yeah. I'm not talking about, I'm talking about literally the natural order of, I'm married now.
Yeah.
What comes with that?
Yeah.
It's literally two becoming one.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're not really even married. Well, I ain't gonna say, because if you're married, you're married. But you don't know nothing about no. This is what I was talking about, you know, about Dan and Tori. Like, you don't know nothing about no love yet.
You ain't in yet.
Like, you ain't in until you've had opportunity to be like, hey, I don't want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
But you stayed anyway.
That's it.
Right?
That's where love starts.
That's where it actually becomes golden.
Yeah.
That's the fire.
Yeah.
This is the fire that.
Yeah.
Hey, I thank you, God. And this is the fire of being God's friend. Like, this is where it ties in as well. It's like, that's the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't want to do this. I don't understand this.
Yeah.
I don't understand her. I don't understand why she's doing this to me. Why is she's mistreating me? He's mistreating me, and it doesn't feel good anymore. It doesn't feel blah 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 blah. But the commitment to each other is literally just like the commitment to God's presence.
That's
it's like, oh, you want to be in my presence? It's like, okay, this is what it comes with.
Yeah.
This is what it comes with the marriage, is that the commitment overrides everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Every emotion is covered under commitment.
Yeah.
Every emotion. Hey, I don't want to. Cool. Commitment comes over top and says, I'm covering. No problem. I got that.
Yeah.
It's like an umbrella. Your commitment umbrella. Umbrella's everything.
Yeah.
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 Beautiful.
That's it.
That's it. Well, praise God. This was a blessing. The first time we've done a pod without Vicho.
Mm-hmm.
We're just struggling over here.
Yeah. If y'all hear bodily functions going on, like,
yes.
I'm burping because I'm nauseous.
He's coughing and snorting. So sorry, but I'm committed to what, you know, I feel like the Lord. That's what it is. So,
but even, we snug on the couches. So we're good.
So, yeah, we're good on the couches. So praise God, we made it. So thank you for listening, and we love all of you. I love you, my love.
Love you too.
And we will see or hear her next time. God bless you.